People Loved by God, thank you for almost 1 million downloads this year. Please help us reach more listeners in 2023 by making a year-end tax-deductible donation. No gift is too small. You can make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org/support.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is brought to you in part by the Lutheran Heritage Foundation. LHF is a recognized service organization of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, dedicated to translating and publishing the books of our Lutheran faith into more than 100 languages for our Christian brothers and sisters around the world. Learn how you can take part in their work at lhfmissions.org. Welcome to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton.
Jesus, on the other hand, keeps the asceticism from turning us into sourpuss Puritans by the utter joy which the kingdom has at its heart, God's love and welcome and embrace of those who've made a disaster of their lives and who will admit it and come to Him to receive His salvation.
The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a daily verse-by-verse Bible study with the church, past and present. Pastor Wheaton is leading us in a study of the Gospel of St. Luke.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Greetings, people loved by God. Well, last time around, we pondered the question which John the Baptist sent to Jesus through two of his disciples. You remember that teachers don't always ask a question because they don't know the answer, but because they do, and they want their pupils to learn it too. That, in any case, is how the ancients took this account, not agreeing with the modern take that John was in a crisis of faith, but rather that he wanted to teach his disciples the truth about Jesus. And how better to do that than for them to become eyewitnesses of all the astounding miracles that our Lord did. Miracles that screamed out that he is the very one Isaiah had long since foretold. As Jesus sends them back to tell John about what they've seen and heard, there is the comfort that that would bring to John himself as he would face his earthly end. And it would help them not to be offended at Jesus' timing, coming in mercy and salvation, before he would indeed return with that winnowing fork in his hand. The continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 7th chapter, beginning at verse 24. When John's messengers had gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out to the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he." When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation? And what are they like? They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, "We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. For John the Baptist has come, eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, 'Look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." Luke 7, verses 24 to 35. Let us pray. O grant, dear Lord of love, that we receive rejoicing the word proclaimed by John, our true repentance voicing, that gladly we may walk upon our Savior's way until we live with him in his eternal day. Amen. So you're ready to meditate on our reading today? Let's do it. Verse 24. When John's messengers were gone, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? They'd have snorted at that. If there's one thing John wasn't, it was a modern politician with his finger in the air trying to decide the popular and safe way to go, like a reed blowing this way and that in the wind. John had an edge about him that was quite unyielding. He was certain of the truth of God's law and prophets, and he didn't much care whether proclaiming that truth boldly worked to make him popular or worked to land him in prison. He had one to whom he would have to give an account, and so he was steadfast. He was not fickle. Verse 25. What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who are dressed in splendid clothing and live in luxury are in king's courts. So this is no doubt a bit of a slam at King Herod, who, like the rich man in Luke 16, also liked to wear nice duds. John's clothing, remember, was the opposite of something comfy cozy. He was dressed in garb that was rough and showed complete disregard for his own comfort. In fact, his clothing was reminiscent of Elijah, whose promised return John was fulfilling in spirit. Compare Matthew 3, verse 4 with 2 Kings 1, verse 8. So John wasn't a people pleaser or a rich guy, so what attracted people to him? Jesus goes on. Verse 26. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. Verse 27. This is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you. A prophet, indeed. The last of the Old Testament prophets. They altogether formed a giant finger pointing to Jesus, but it was John in whom their finger finally touched the Lamb of God. He was the messenger of Malachi 3, verse 1, the one sent directly before the Lord himself to prepare his way. Jesus adds, verse 28, I tell you among those born of women, none is greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. So what are we going to make of this? John is the greatest among those born of women. I think we must add in the natural way. Obviously, Jesus is greater yet, but his birth was not in a natural way. So what exactly did Jesus mean when he proclaims this word? St. Cyril of Alexandria, writing in the 5th century, unpacks the mysterious statement most wonderfully. Listen, Christ also says that among those born of women, none has arisen greater than him in the righteousness that is by the law. And he contrasts that with a believer in Christ who is in the kingdom of God by grace. He goes on, The kingdom of God signifies, as we affirm, the grace that is by faith, by means of which we are accounted worthy of every blessing and of the possession of the rich gifts which come from above from God. It frees us from all blame and makes us to be the children of God, partakers of the Holy Spirit, and heirs of a heavenly inheritance. In other words, folks, you have it better than St. John. Verse 29. When all the people heard this, and the tax collectors too, they declared God just, having been baptized with the baptism of John. Verse 30. But the Pharisees and the lawyers rejected the purpose of God for themselves, not having been baptized by him. What a fascinating observation this is. The people with the notorious sinners, they all declared God just. Note, that does not mean made him just. That would be blasphemy. They declared him to be just. They declared him to be in the right. And they were able to do this precisely because they had not rejected God's purpose for themselves, his will for them. They had accepted the baptism which John offered. But the Pharisees and the lawyers couldn't admit that they were sinners who needed a sinner's baptism. So they rejected God's will for themselves with John, and now they're doing the same thing with Jesus regarding his words and his teaching as nonsense. Verse 31. To what then shall I compare the people of this generation, and what are they like? Verse 32. They are like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another, We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not weep. Now remember, if you've been with us for a while, that this generation often doesn't mean so much the people alive at a given moment as the generation that has its birth from Adam and is born in natural darkness of understanding. So this generation equates then with unbelievers. Jesus says they're like children who can't be pleased because neither John nor Jesus would, well, dance to their tune. John's steadfast and uncompromising opposition to accommodation to the sinful world, his asceticism on the one hand, and on the other hand, Jesus' refusal to let the joy of the Father's love ever be turned off. Verse 33, "For John the Baptist has come eating no bread and drinking no wine, and you say he has a demon." Verse 34, "The Son of Man has come eating and drinking, and you say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners." John's asceticism leads the people to think he's got to be possessed by a demon. He's crazy. He's nuts. But on the other hand, the Son of Man's happy embrace of sinners, even eating and drinking with them. Think of the party at Matthew's house after his calling, Luke 5, verse 27 and following. This leads the zealots of the law to regard Jesus as being a bit loose. Either way, they're dismissing the challenge which St. John and our Lord set before them. John's ascetical life proclaims loud and clear to those with ears to hear that life in this age is not the be-all and end-all. We need to be prepared for a life that's coming, an age that's breaking in upon us. We need to be ready for the kingdom. Jesus, on the other hand, keeps the asceticism from turning us into sourpuss Puritans by the utter joy which the kingdom has at its heart, God's love and welcome and embrace of those who've made a disaster of their lives and who will admit it and come to him to receive his salvation. Verse 35, "Yet wisdom is justified by all her children." So what does that mean? Well, I think it's roughly akin to our proverb, "The proof is in the pudding." By the Pharisees and the scribes' rejection of Jesus, they remain children of darkness. Yet the tax collectors and sinners who heeded John and who welcomed Christ are shown to be, by their repentance, the children of light, the true sons and daughters of God. Now that's where we're going to call our quits for today. Up next, speaking of wisdom being justified by our children, we'll meet a very wise woman and a very foolish man. The wise woman hasn't always been wise. She's got quite the reputation in the city of being, I think we must understand it, a loose woman. The foolish man is a Pharisee named Simon, who had invited Jesus over for dinner. We'll see he's foolish because he's doing that judging and condemning which Jesus warned none of us are in a position to pull off. So the woman comes in and, standing behind Jesus at his feet, begins to weep, wetting his feet with her tears, wiping them with her hair, anointing him with ointment. Simon, seeing all of this, is horrified because he knows the reputation of this woman and he can't even believe that Jesus is letting her touch him. He thought to himself, "Well, I guess that settles that. He's no more prophet than I am. Otherwise, he'd know what sort of woman this is he's allowing to handle him." Jesus, of course, knows his thoughts and tells his host that he has something he needs to say to him. Simon, poor man, with not a clue about what's coming, invites Jesus to speak whatever's on his mind. And that's where we're going to stop. We're not going to get to hear yet what Jesus has to say to Simon, but it opens up for us the mystery of forgiveness and how the forgiveness that's in Jesus absolutely transforms every life it touches. Till next time, people loved by God, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Thanks for listening to The Word of the Lord Endures Forever with Pastor Will Wheaton. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a listener-supported program. You can make a year-end tax-deductible donation by check. Make your check payable to The Word Endures and send it to Box 616, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online contribution at thewordendures.org. The Word of the Lord Endures Forever is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.